On Wednesday, University of Massachusetts guard Derek Gordon became the first openly gay Division I men's basketball player. Almost exactly a year prior to that, Brittany Griner, then the standout center for Baylor University, also came out. Griner tells the story in her recently released autobiography, In My Skin, and relates how she spent a considerable portion of her childhood wishing away her size, strength, and tenacity. Numbers of basketball players overwhelmed by the 6'8" Griner when she was playing for Baylor no doubt wish those wishes had come true. Brittany Griner now plays for the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. She joins me from NPR's New York Bureau. Brittany, welcome to Only a Game.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
That 2012 Baylor team, which you led, went undefeated and won the NCAA championship. Obviously, you were in the national spotlight throughout that year. Did you enjoy the attention?
Definitely. I learned to enjoy the attention over time, but it was a great season. It was a great time just to, you know, have with my teammates and my coach.
During that championship season with Baylor, you and your teammates experienced perfection, at least in terms of what you accomplished on the court. Is there any way to strive for that same sort of satisfaction now in the pros?
Definitely. Especially this year, I want to strive for the same perfection that we got at Baylor. I remember, you know, everything that it took going in every day, before practice, after practice, long hours in the gym, and just working together as a team and a unit to, you know, go in every game and fight to get that win. I definitely am striving to get that same perfection as I did my junior year at Baylor.
As you point out in My Skin, Baylor is and was institutionally opposed to gays and lesbians. The school has a published policy to that effect. You told Coach Mulkey, even before you started school at Baylor, that you were gay, though you say in the book that you had no knowledge of Baylor's anti-gay stance at that time. What led you to offer that information to the coach, and how did she respond?
I just wanted to let her know, you know, who I was. And, you know, I was going through things, you know, just coming out and at home. And she came back and told me that, you know, it wasn't a big deal. As long as I came and did what I needed to do, everything would be good.
Of your relationship with Kim Mulkey, you say there was always a bit of a disconnect. This is in part because you never knew if she accepted you for who you are. In retrospect, do you ever wish you'd played your college basketball somewhere else where that disconnect wouldn't have been an issue?
Never, never. I enjoyed all my years at Baylor. Coach Mulkey taught me lessons on and off the court. I met tremendous people that I love and still, you know, connect with now to this day.
Obviously, Kim Mulkey was elated when you chose Baylor. As you report, she shouted, "Big girl is coming to Baylor." But once the initial excitement wore off, she was less than delighted with your tattoos, which she made you cover up by wearing a T-shirt under your jersey. Would she have imposed that restriction on any other player?
Other teammates of mine had tattoos that they didn't have to cover, but I had to cover up my stars that I got on my shoulders.
Why just you?
You know, Coach, she didn't want anybody to think, you know, anything of me by having the tattoos. And, you know, she was always looking out for me. And I really, truly believe she was looking out for me. But I wanted to show my ink.
And you got to once you got to the WNBA.
Oh, definitely. I show all my ink off now.
You describe the process of recruiting athletes as, and again, I'm quoting here, one big song and dance with everybody playing a role. How would you change that process if you could do so?
I think when different schools will stop looking at a player's, you know, orientation and just focus strictly on, you know, just the player's performance, I think it'll be better. I don't think anybody would want to go to a school and then have to change who they are.
Would there be a way of maybe diminishing the pressure on 17, 18-year-olds trying to decide which coach they should believe?
Honestly, with more athletes coming out and, you know, telling their story and it becoming less of a big deal, then honestly, we won't have to think about it at all in recruiting. We'll just, you know, pick a school and go wherever, you know, we choose to go.
You characterize becoming a professional player as a liberating experience in the book. Tell us a little bit more about the liberation.
You can be your own self. You don't have to hide. You don't have to worry about anything, honestly, you know, becoming a professional athlete. I felt so free and able to really become who I am and, you know, tell my story. And that was one of the biggest things for me, just being able to be true to myself.
Then, of course, the Mercury began your rookie season by losing more games in 2 weeks than Baylor had lost in the previous 2 years. So that adjustment must have been a bit of a challenge.
It was an adjustment. I just had to learn how to be a better player. I had to learn how, you know, it's not going to come easy. I kind of took for granted winning at Baylor. Like, I would go into a game kind of like, okay, we're going to get this. I had to learn to get that fight back, honestly.
You have also had the opportunity to play pro basketball in China, which must have required all sorts of even more dramatic adjustments on and off the court. Is that something you're going to do again?
I will definitely do that again. Playing overseas just helps out your game so much. Different coaching, different style of play. You know, it's a little bit different over there, on and off the court. Eating was my biggest thing. I had to find somewhere to eat and get food.
The easily available fare was not agreeable?
Not really. Fast food was my best friend overseas, honestly. I lived off of it.
Toward the end of In My Skin, there's a passage which I found exceptional for its candor. You say, technically I'm an adult, but I'm still learning what that means exactly. How's that process going these days?
It's going good. I actually learned a lot overseas about myself. I always depend, you know, on somebody to be there for me and with me and, you know, help me out. And when I was overseas, you know, you're by yourself. You really kind of learn to find yourself and how to be alone and deal with things on your own. So overseas definitely helped me grow as a person.
With Sue Hovey, Brittany Griner of the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury wrote In My Skin, My Life on and Off the Basketball Court. Brittany, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a great time.
To read my review of Brittany Griner's book, In My Skin, please go to onlyagame.org. And note, please, that we've got a new Facebook address, facebook.com/onlyagamenpr. If you already like us on Facebook, you'll still get our post. But if you haven't yet, check out facebook.com/onlyagamenpr, which is also our new Twitter handle.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line, a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel, now at Radio Shack. And the Music Emporium, for 45 years, offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars, themusicemporium.com. This is NPR.